إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we were talking about the perhaps the most important thing in the issue of building and keeping together the brotherhood, which is the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم, and that is the importance of forgiving one another. This is such an important thing that I think I would not be wrong in saying that this is perhaps the most important thing among all the things that are required to be done. And it is something which is probably also the most difficult to do. It is important, but it is not easy to do. And that is the reason why there is such a huge premium on forgiveness. Just think about this one thing, which we have heard this so many times, as I mentioned to you, this is also the ayat of Surah An-Nur, where Rasulullah ﷺ said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim Sharif, Abu Hurairah reported Rasulullah ﷺ said, charity does not decrease wealth. Three things he mentioned in hadith. He said, charity does not decrease wealth. In another place, he said, if you fear poverty or if you are in constrained circumstances, he said, give charity. It seems like a strange advice, because I already don't have money. I'm already in difficulties. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, what must you do as a solution for your financial problems? He says, give charity. We'll talk about this later, inshallah, but just to reinforce this. So in this particular hadith in Muslim, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, charity does not decrease wealth, number one. Number two, he said, no one forgives except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases his honor. No one forgives except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases his honor. And third thing he says is, no one humbles himself for the sake of Allah except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises his status. So three things. One is to give charity, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said charity does not decrease wealth. Two, forgive people, because by forgiving people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases your honor. And number three, humble yourself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not be arrogant, because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise your status. In another hadith, which is in Musnad Imam Ahmad, Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah was on the minbar and he said, be merciful to others and you will receive mercy. Forgive others and Allah will forgive you. Now think about these things. I sometimes, you know, marvel at the good fortune of being a Muslim. Rasulullah is not saying be merciful to others every single instant in your life. That does not mean he's saying be merciful sometimes and don't be merciful sometimes. I'm not saying that. We should be merciful every single instant in our lives. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not putting that as a condition. He's saying be merciful. Maybe you have only one chance of being merciful in your entire life. But for that, Allah will be merciful to you how many times? Allah did not put a limit on this. You will receive mercy. How much mercy? Mercy in keeping with the grace and majesty of the one who gives mercy, of the one who is merciful. Forgive. He said, forgive others and Allah will forgive you. Maybe you had a chance or I had a chance of forgiving somebody only once. And Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us good lives. So if I think in my life, who do I need to forgive today? Nobody wronged me. Who did I forgive yesterday? I forgave nobody because nobody did anything to me. Sometimes people say this, no, but unhe karana. I mean, that was this person, he did this to me, you know. That is why you are forgiving. If he had done nothing, who are you going to forgive? You know, I can't say I'm going to forgive Masarbhai. For what? He didn't do anything. So the point is that maybe Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us good lives and may this continue, inshallah. But I'm saying maybe somebody does some nonsense and you know, you say, okay, I'm not going to respond to this. I will not react. Leave it. I'm forgiven. Now that forgiveness you did maybe once in your life. But what is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying? Allah will forgive you. How many times? In keeping with His majesty and grace. So maybe you forgave somebody or I forgave somebody one time in my life, in our lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave all that we did in our whole lives. This is the greatness of, you know, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Then, another hadith in Tirmidhi, Abu Abdullah Al-Khadali radiallahu anhu reported, he said, I asked Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha about the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, our mother said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never indecent. He was never obscene. He would not shout in the markets. And he would not respond to an evil deed with an evil deed. But rather, he would pardon and overlook. He was never indecent. He was never obscene. That is cursing and, you know, telling bad jokes and things like this. He never did any of that. He would not yell and scream and, you know, get angry and shout. He would never do that. And he would not respond to an evil deed with an evil deed. Instead, he would forgive. And this is in Sunan Tirmidhi. In another hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad, Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu reported, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Uqba, reconcile whoever cuts you off. Give to whoever deprives you. And pardon whoever wrongs you. Ajib. He says, whoever cuts you off, you don't say, well, you know, he cut me off. No, you go. Maybe he cut you off, but you go and try to make up with that person. Right? I do it at least once. And do it nicely. Don't go and do it as if you are doing some ihsan on the person. I mean, do it nicely. Do it at least once. You cut me off, but I'm not going to cut you off. You can cut me off as many times as you want, but I will continue to connect with you. I will continue to respond to you. And this is especially important with our blood relatives, with our brothers and sisters and, you know, our parents and uncles and aunts and so on and so forth. Blood relatives, especially those with whom we have the relationship of the Raham. This is even more important that we do not cut them off and we do not allow them to cut us off. I mean, they can cut you off, you can't stop them, but don't leave it like that. Go and try to make up, go and try to reconcile, because this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. And then he says, give to whoever deprives you. Now, maybe this was your haq. It happens a lot of times in the, you know, inheritance and so on and so forth. The person is doing wrong. He is depriving you of what you should have got. But then when the time comes, maybe it is Eid, maybe it is something else, go give it to them. Maybe they deprived you and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprived them and now they are in need, go and help them. Don't say, see, this is good. You deprived me and now suffer. No. You deprived me, that is your action. I will do my action. I do not do whatever you do because you are not my teacher. My teacher is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can do whatever evil you want, that's your lookout, right? You should not do it, but if you do it, that's your problem. I will not follow what you do because you are not my teacher. Why should I follow you? I will follow my teacher, and who is my teacher? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third thing he says is, pardon whoever wrongs you. As I said, first of all, the question of pardon comes only if somebody wrongs you. If somebody has not wronged you, where is the question of pardon? And he is saying here, pardon whoever wrongs you. He didn't say take retaliate. He didn't say take revenge, no. Even though legally, and we'll come to that, that's the next hadith and this which has. So, I mean, when I read these things, I get so absolutely astounded at this character of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Sunan Abu Dawud, Anas bin Malik said, I never saw a case. Listen to this one. I never saw a case involving legal retaliation being referred to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam except that he would recommend pardoning the criminal. Now see this, who is Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He is not some, you know, elder in the family who you went for advice. No, he is the judge. He is the head of state. He is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is his job to establish justice. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him. So when somebody comes to him with a case which involves legal retaliation, meaning that the person who has come with the case is somebody who has been wronged, he has a right to get redressal in court and legal retaliation. He can retaliate. But what does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommend to him? Forgive him. Forgive him. And you might say, where is the justice in this? And you are supposed to be a judge, right? I didn't come to you as my elder, so please. No, I came to you as a judge. And this man wronged me. I am supposed to get justice. He took away my house, he took away whatever he did, right? You are telling me, forgive him. Where is the justice? But you know what there is? There is more than justice, because what Rasulullah is telling you is, forgive him so Allah will forgive you on the day of judgment. You retaliate, it is your right. I can give you, and if you insist, I will give you. But then you will only get this here. You haven't got anything from Allah. Instead of trying to get from this man, take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you want from him? He swallowed your house, let him take it. Allah will give you palace after palace after palace in Jannah. Why do you want to do this deal where you will retaliate to this man, even though it is your right? I mean, you are not doing haram if you do that. But you are washing your hands of a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is forever and ever. Maybe you get your house back and next day you drop dead. So, khalas, what happened? So here is a case where whatever it was that happened, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, think about the akhirah. Take from Allah. Take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't get stuck in this dunya. So that's where Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, this hadith in Abi Dawud. And Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu also reported in another hadith. And this, look at this. A man came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the killer of his relative. So, somebody murdered his relative, they found the man, and the man came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was arrested, caught, brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this man, forgive him. Here is a murderer, can you imagine? Here is a murderer. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, forgive him. The man refused. I will not do it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, take blood money. Okay, take diya, take blood money. He said, no. I will not take blood money. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then go kill him, for you are like him. Look at this, the level of forgiveness. The man comes with somebody who murdered his relative. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, forgive him. The man said, I will not forgive him. He said, okay, don't forgive him. Take blood money. He said, I will not take blood money. Life for life. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, go kill him, because you are like him. That shocked the man. And the man let him go. He forgave the man. This is in An-Nasai. Aisha radiallahu anha said, from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily it is better for the leader to make a mistake forgiving the criminal than it is for him to make a mistake punishing the innocent. It is better to make a mistake forgiving somebody who has committed a crime than to make an opposite mistake, which is to punish somebody who is innocent. Now, this applies, of course, to judges and so on and so forth. But think about it from our perspective, which is that how many times is it that somebody reports to us, so and so said this about you. And now we hold a lot of bad feeling about that person who allegedly said something bad about me. Did you actually hear him say that? You didn't hear him say that. Do you know this fellow who told you was speaking the truth? We don't know that. And people convey, they will search for you and convey this bad news. If somebody tells, if there are 20 people who say good things about you, nobody will come and report it to you. One fellow says something bad, they will search for you and they, you know what I heard? So this is a nasty, tendency among us. But I'm saying, but just on that basis, we hold grudges against people. Final hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported, a man came to Rasulullah sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many times should I pardon my servant? He's talking about pardoning his servant makes mistake. How many times should I pardon my servant? What did he say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, how many? 70 times each day. Yeah. He said 70 times each day. So next day is another 70. Ajib. Really seriously, my brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu to enable us to understand and to follow the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because at the end of all this, I spoke to you all of this about the akhirah. But imagine a person who is so forgiving in life. How much of goodness he will have in this life itself? People will love him. He will be highly popular. He will be highly respected. You know, people will say, mashallah, this man is so big-hearted. And this is the beauty of Islam. And whatever is recommended in Islam, it causes benefit in this dunya as well as the akhirah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمن الرحيم.